Hey everybody, good morning and happy March 5th. Not our first show in March, it is our first show in March. I think our last one was the last day of February. Welcome to March, everybody. Welcome to Plant-Based Morning Show, part of the Outlier Health Network and presented by Compliment. That's lovecompliment.com for all the best plant-based supplements money can buy. Truly.
What do you get at Compliment? Matt, what kind of compliments do you take?
I take Compliment Essential. Because that's the essential. That's the one thing every vegan should take, in my opinion. Medical advice given by a non-doctor. I can still give medical advice, right? No, I guess I can't do that. But I still think vegans should take Compliment. Essential. I take Compliment protein sometimes. And I also always take the omega-3s, omega complex. Because I like that extra boost. Because I'm so special. I need even more than the regular Compliment
you
can
need,
provide.
You need the bonus boost of omegas.
Right. My life is that important. My heart health is that important compared to everybody else's that I need extra beyond what normal person would be satisfied with.
Well, I'm pretty similar, Matt. I take Compliment Essential. I don't take Omega Complex every day. I probably should, but I don't. No. I've been drinking a lot of Compliment protein recently.
Mm-hmm. And chocolate flavor or plain?
Recently, I've been doing a chocolate like creatine. Add a little creatine in there as well, chocolate, mm-hmm. and then just water and a little bit of milk, and it shake it up, and it actually tastes really good.
Good. Mm-hmm. And you do any other stuff? Gut Nurture?
I don't do Gut Nurture right now. I am doing greens every a couple times a week. Recently,
yep. My latest
trick with greens is I've been mixing it in with sparkling water, and it is so freaking refreshing and delicious.
People don't understand that our greens powder is really good. See, Daniel P says she takes the essentials and greens powder. I don't take the greens powder. I don't know why. I just have never like fit greens powder into my life for long, but it tastes better than any of them. It's just like, it tastes like a good drink compared to that stevia taste that so many of them taste like. For example, I cannot drink Athletic Greens. I've tried. I wanted all that stuff sometimes, but I just can't get it down. It's too sweet. All right. Enough of that advertising. Hello to Britters, Mr. Jeffrey, Leslie Knight, who's on the bike today on a trainer. Thank goodness. Not out on the real roads. Kelly K, Amory Dube, Big Meaty X Claws, Danielle P, Stephen Dunn, and Anne Marie again. So there you go. That's some of the crowd who's here today. Doug, how's it going? I believe we are due a big running report from you.
Oh yeah. Whoops.
I've been thinking about it all weekend.
Man, I'm doing okay. I'm feeling a little off today. I had a lot of trouble sleeping last night, which is unusual for me, but I woke up at like 3:30 and laid in bed for an hour and a half. And it threw me off because my alarm was set to go off at 5:10 to go run. And after laying there, I decided to turn off my alarm. And now I'm in kind of like this bitter mode that I didn't get to go for my run. And I'm also tired because I was up in the middle of the night. And I don't know, just feeling a little off today.
Well, I can relate. That's how, I was up at that same time too. Very often I am. And it's a weird feeling being up like almost when it's time to wake up, but you're mm-hmm. really not in the range of, I can just stay up, because then you'll just be, it's just not reasonable. Right. You'll have a terrible day. So then you go back to sleep eventually, and then you don't do what you wanted to do in the morning, and you feel mm-hmm. bad still. Even if you get enough sleep, it's just bad. So I feel for you, Doug.
Yeah, it is. Because I kept thinking, should I just get up and get ready to go run now? But then I would have woken up at 3:30 and that would have thrown out the rest of my day.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't have that. So I don't know.
All right. So what's the real running report? Come on.
The running report did happen, because I got, because listen to this. We got a surprise. My mom offered at the last minute to take the girls for a night. And so we had this like 24-hour date, and that was when I was going to do my big time trial and get my big report. But I had time with my wife, decided not to do that. We went on a double date. We went skiing, one last ski trip mm-hmm. for the weekend, and I didn't run. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I know I feel bad because I've been hyping it up all week. Yeah. All last week.
You have.
And I've got nothing for you.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say at this point that the 5K training over the last 3 weeks has gone completely.
I was going to say, I thought, okay, since the 6 week thing turned into, it's going to be, I think, 9 to 10 weeks now, I thought you're going to be crushing this 5K goal now.
It started out pretty strong. It really did. And then, The last couple weeks.
I can't believe a new habit started out strong for a little while.
And then a New Year's habit started out great.
Yeah,
for like the first couple of weeks, and then what do you know? Like,
man, yeah.
But amazing. You know, I still want to do it. So I'm I'm not gonna let this be the pull up thing. I'm not gonna let it become that.
Okay.
I'm either gonna do it, I'm gonna give it another go, or I'm just gonna give up on it completely and say, you know, be done with it. I'm not gonna drag it out for 4 years.
Okay. All right. I want you to really start something and do the thing and then have done what you set out to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, you know, like maybe run a 100-miler or, you know, all the things that I have done.
I know. Yeah. Right. I'm not saying you don't do fitness. Obviously you do. But these new initiatives, I want to see you do one and just see it through.
Yeah, I do too, honestly. I really do too. I wouldn't announce them. I wouldn't do them here if I didn't want to do them. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, Bridger's also slept in today, turned off her 4 a.m. alarm. I mean, I don't know why you're setting that to begin with. That's crazy. And slept in instead of running the afternoon weights. Yeah, that's good. Good to sleep in. Steven also supposed to work. Maybe he said work out today, but had to skip due to fatigue. Or maybe he means work, period. He just skipped work today because he was tired. If so, good for you. Okay. Well, I didn't have too eventful of a weekend. I did the normal stuff, went to kids' soccer things, watched some soccer on TV, played some piano, read some books. It was good. Nice time, but nothing really remarkable. What about you? Anything you mentioned you got away for a little bit?
Well, I didn't get away. We stayed here. Katie or mom took the girls to her place.
Oh, okay.
So we did sauna. Love sauna. I don't get to do that enough.
Did you say it's like a sauna in here? Did you do that joke?
It's like a sauna in here. No, I didn't do that. That would have been good though.
Yeah.
And then we did a little spring ski day, final turns of the year.
Lots of slush.
So much slush. It was 60 degrees. We were in long sleeve shirts and
yeah, it's all right, it's nice.
It was super fun. And I did want to share, I have a we've talked on the No Man Athlete radio episode a couple weeks ago about kind of last minute meals to put together when you're in a hurry.
Yep.
We don't have much time.
Definitely.
And I forgot to mention one that we've been doing, and every time I do it, it keeps getting better because I keep getting a little bit better at doing it. And that is literally taking instant ramen and then adding a bunch of stuff to it, like just chopping up a bunch of carrots, adding tofu, adding a can of beans, spinach, you know, just throw a bunch of stuff that's in the fridge into an instant ramen pot. And it's so good. It's so good.
I don't know. For the packet that comes with it, the flavor packet, the MSG packet?
Yeah, I do like half of it. Do like half the MSG packet.
Okay.
Because it is a ton of sodium and a ton of MSG, I guess. But you know, so like that part's probably not very great for you, but if you just throw a bunch of vegetables in there, you know, and probably don't do the whole packet, then I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's so good and it can't be that bad for you. Maybe it is. I don't know, but it can't be.
You just have a mushroom stock either on hand or like that you made or just, you can buy them. I think usually they're kind of specialty vegan stores, but Whole Foods probably would have that. That would be good. Right? I mean, I think in regular ramen, like that's often all it is a mushroom broth. Maybe with a few spices or something, but
yeah,
I like it. And then, so you cook everything in the broth, like you will put raw carrots right in there and just let them cook.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is boil water, throw the carrots and stuff in there with a little bit of seasoning, and then because the noodles only take like 2 minutes to cook, so once that stuff is pretty much ready, throw the noodles in and then stir it up and serve it.
I like it. Kids like it.
Yeah. It could not be easier. It takes 15 minutes to make just a little bit of chopping. And, you know, and like you said, you could make your own stock or like have stock on hand that would be healthier, I'm sure, than the packets that they do. But couldn't get easier. And it's so cheap. I mean, those packets of ramen are
pissed. Yeah, right. Like a good cheap meal. Do you eat it with a spoon or a fork? That's always my dilemma with ramen.
Yeah, it depends on if I've added too much water or not. Ideally, no. Ideally, there's just a little bit of broth left over. You drink that at the end, but you're forking it. in my opinion. That's the way I like it.
I can't get behind the drinking of soups. I can't stomach it. I would reject it if I tried to do that.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't drink a savory thing like that.
Huh.
Like when people put soup in a thermos for lunch and they drink it, it's just the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All right. We got a first timer here, Jessica Estep. She says, OMG, I finally made it to the live show. I'm excited. Professor on spring break. Look at that. Early spring break. But love it. Love to have someone new to the show. First timers, we encourage that. If you are a podcast listener, please try to make it to the live show. Skip work. Do whatever you need to do. Steven skipped work today. He was tired. You can do the same if you have a job and you know you want to come to the live show. You should, like Jessica did. All right. Anything else, Doug? I'm trying to think of like anything I did that was interesting. I got a burrito bowl at a place.
Ooh, a burrito bowl. Wow. Yeah. You hate burrito bowls. That's not your thing. Or bowls. Bowls in general are not your thing, right?
Yeah, I usually don't do the bowl, but I just wanted it this time. And it was okay. I also got a good marinara pizza at like a Neapolitan pizza place that I happened to find near the soccer game that we were at. So that was good. But nothing that eventful, I don't think. I'm blanking on something like very eventful, but I just can't think of what it was. So maybe it'll come to me later. All right. Anything else, Doug? Or should we jump into the day's plant-based content, of which there is a modicum, not a whole lot?
Let's just jump right into it.
Okay, let's do it. Here we go. Burger King Germany. Has reduced the price. What?
That's the double sound machine effect. That was good. Today.
Making up for the days when I don't have it. I charged ahead of time. Burger King Germany has reduced the price of all their plant-based meals by 10 cents, making them cheaper than the chain's meat-based options.
Wow.
So if that's not the exciting thing to lead off the weather report, I mean, what do you want? 15 cents off, 20 cents off. I mean, this is a whole dime off of every item. They're now cheaper than the chain's meat-based options. Like I said, that's what we want. We want that price parity. Burger King has made a vegan version of almost every product they have, which is cool.
So does that mean that they were the same price before?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's great. I mean, if that's true, that's awesome. Because you know, the Beyond or the Impossible Whopper is more expensive than the regular Whopper. That's why I've been cementing my feet in front of the Burger Kings.
Yeah, how come nobody protests that? How come no one gets all upset about that?
I don't know. But no, I mean, that's this is really two pieces of good news. One is that in Germany, it appears that they're making the vegan version at the same price, but now they're actually cheaper. So that's good.
Yeah. It's only a short campaign, though. It's the plant-based for everyone campaign. I don't know how long it's going to be that way, but they're seeing increased demand for the plant-based range, which is really good. It runs counter to my theory that the Impossible Whopper will be gone by the end of the year. I don't think it will be gone over in Europe. That seems like it's doing great over there. Also the new thing they do, they've got two other things happening. They're introducing a new flower-shaped patty for their plant-based beef-style burger. So now it's not going to look like the real thing anymore. It's going to look like this flour, so that you can be sure if you're a customer, a vegan, that this is not the beef accidentally, which I guess is good. It sounds like a very practical move. I don't know. Does it make it weird that it's like shaped like a flour?
Yeah, kind of.
It just seems like then it's like different, and I don't really like that. I think people want it to be the same thing. Who knows? Maybe they won't care. And they also are doing that parsley sprinkles in the breading to make sure people know that the chicken patties and nuggets are different from the meat version. So anyway, they're doing some stuff over there. Also, in response to Wendy's announcement that they would be doing demand, or what's it called, surge pricing, apparently Burger King made Whoppers free for the day, or Impossible Whoppers free for the day. I don't know about everything. They were free. I missed that entirely, but you had to spend $3 on other things. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool because usually they exclude the Whopper from those campaigns. They're those, you know, free and coupon things. Mm-hmm. The Impossible, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's a bird.
Dale Stevens likes the flower, which is good. Interesting. Neil L also says, I like the different shape, less guessing. That's true. Definitely is. Mm-hmm. And Garuda Legends has checked in, says, you're missing out on miso soup, Doug. See, I would have never thought Garuda would want miso soup. It just doesn't seem like a Garuda thing to eat. But that, just constant intrigue with Garuda Legends. And then he wonders, is the price dropping because of overstock in the warehouse and low sales? Perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps they just need to get rid of these plant-based things because nobody wants them.
Could they be. Send- Although if we're going to do that, I don't think 10 cents is the way to really get items moving out the door, but possibly. Yeah.
I mean, it is possible. I'm sure that stuff goes on all the time and we don't hear about why. All right. And then Jessica, our new person, says, my mom feeds the kids Impossible Whoppers regularly. I don't know what she would feed them if the Impossible Whoppers went away. Wow. I'm curious, Jeff, what you think about your mom feeding the kids Impossible Whoppers regularly. I mean, it depends how often she sees them. If she's babysitting them every single day while you're off teaching school, does that mean they're having an Impossible Whopper for lunch every day? And I'm curious, do you like that or not? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing that doesn't happen. All right. We got some shaky news in the cultivated meat world, which I don't like. I like the cultivated meat to keep doing well. Good Meat, which is the cultivated meat division of Eat Just, who makes your favorite egg substitute, Doug, the Just Egg. They have temporarily paused the production of cultivated chicken in Singapore. Remember, they had a $100 million lawsuit on their hands they were dealing with. That is still happening. But they were opening a new plant, and their primary facility. Both of these have closed as the company reconsiders its strategy in Asia. Of course, they're not being sold anymore in the U.S. in the one restaurant that it was in, which I don't, you know, they weren't trying to get any more than that just yet, I don't think. Maybe they were. I don't know. And then Huber's Bistro, which is in the Singapore, that was like the first butcher to be selling cultivated meat. That is not carrying it anymore. Huh. So then VegConomist emphasized on March 4th, they had to amend the article and point out that the company wishes to emphasize that production is simply paused temporarily and it plans to resume production and service to customers very soon.
Yeah, that's what you say when you're not sure when that's going to happen, when you're running into some real troubles.
Right.
I don't know. This is bad news. This is a setback.
This is a big setback.
I mean, because they were like one of the first, or they said that they were first. There was those two that kind of happened at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a bummer.
Yeah. If this is something that is a real thing, and I would imagine it is, I don't think you shut down plants very often, even if temporarily. Is it because the acceptance of this cultivated meat stuff has not been what people thought it was because there's already this pushback? I don't know if that's a surprise. I think we kind of already knew people were going to be iffy about it. Or is it that the $100 million lawsuit and the company is, you know, is whatever, mismanaging whatever they're doing or dealing with money problems and whatever else?
Probably has to be that, right? I mean, because surely they didn't expect instant adoption of cultivated meat. It has to be money.
And it seems like there wouldn't even be evidence to show that there hasn't been that. It just hasn't been enough places to know if people want it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless no restaurants are willing to do it. But I just don't think that would happen. All right. Jessica says that her mom just doesn't get vegetarianism 15 years in. She watches them only like once a month. So all good there. No health concerns from my end. All right, Abbott's Doug, who used to be Abbott's butcher, now they're just Abbott's. Don't know why they got rid of the butcher, but they chopped the butcher, huh? Off their
good one.
They've announced that they've expanded into Publix, but it's only in the southeastern U.S. and that doesn't even include me or you. It's in Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida. But if I run into Publix to get the vegan, what's it called, vegan turkey club thing, which is delicious, and you all should do that, I will definitely check out the fake meats case for Abbott's, because I like Abbott's when I tried it.
I like Abbott's. Chorizo,
ground beef, and fajita chicken is their flavors.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of Abbott's, and so this is good news. I wish it was a little bit bigger. I just can't imagine that Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida are that big of hotspots for vegan meat. But
it's like it's like the worst pocket you could imagine going to as far as people being
really Usually that'd probably be the last place I would put my my V expansion, but you know, but you do what you gotta do. Do what you can do, and you know, maybe make some converts.
Publix gets the plant-based meats. They got the Unreal Deli, which is what their vegan club thing is made out of. Mm-hmm. Somehow they just get, I don't know, they get them seemingly before others. This might be from the press release of Abbott's, I don't know, but it says, made from whole food ingredients such as pea protein, mushrooms, and extra virgin olive oil. I consider one out of those three things to be whole food, and I don't know what else is in the product besides that. Just an odd choice of words. Is it? Can we call that stuff whole food now? Pea protein?
No.
Olive oil?
No. I think there's a clear definition of what a whole food is, and those are not that.
Right. When you add another word, like instead of just pea, it's pea protein, or when you say instead of olive, it's olive oil, that's no longer whole. You just made it, you modified mm-hmm. it. Anyway, I like those foods. They're fine, but they're not whole foods. All right. A little bit of good news, potentially a lot of good news. Tesco has reported that the plant-based revolution appears to be entering a second phase.
Oh, yeah.
Driven by consumers cooking from scratch. They said that while plant-based is the biggest food trend this century, and I guess that's accurate. Even if it's in decline right now, we had 10, 15 years of good growth. They said there was a slight dip last year attributed to the novelty wearing off, but now meat-free ingredients and whole cuts. I don't know what whole cuts are. I think that might mean the, marble, juicy marbles or whatever that they had, anyway, it's on the rise again. Sales of fish alternatives have risen by a huge 100% compared to the same period last year. Tofu and tempeh up about 20%, and plant-based steaks and chicken have seen a 20% sales boost. Meat-free burgers up 10%. So it's kind of good. I don't know how big the dip was over the last year. So to like be up 10% from last year may be no great accomplishment. But this seems like a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm stuck on the fact whether plant-based revolution appears to be or is the biggest food trend of the century.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, something
what is breedable?
Maybe corn chips.
What is corn chips?
I don't know. Breedables.
Yeah, I know. It's like people eat them every single night now, don't they? They have Mexican food every single night for dinner now. Oh no, that's just your house. That has only been in your house. That hasn't been a worldwide phenomenon.
What? but I don't know, like Tex-Mex food, like centuries, a long time. No.
All right.
Sorry. No, this is great. This is good. This is good news, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the fish alternatives rising by 100%. I mean, there are definitely a whole lot more products available. It seems like seems like 50 times more products now available of that. But I want to blame that and say, well, it's just because there's a whole lot more products available. But if there wasn't demand, they wouldn't be stocking those products. They would not be giving the shelf space to those things. So that people, I guess, are interested in plant-based seafood, which is surprising to me. I like it, but I just
like what's up that? 20%. Tofu tempeh up 20%. Like that's like, cause who's buying that? Right. I mean, other than people who are looking for that, like they're not walking down the aisle and being like, oh, plant-based tuna. That sounds kind of interesting. I'd like to try that and see if it tastes any good. Like if you buy tofu or tempeh, you're looking for tofu and tempeh.
Yeah.
For some sort of recipe or something like that. So I like, to me, that is more exciting than the fish.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that also is people, I mean, to me, those are healthier choices than the other things are, the plant-based steaks, chicken, fish. So that is people maybe wanting more real food than they have in the past. So anyway, it's a good thing. All right, Garuda tried the plant-based beef tips, which is good. The texture was nice, but it smelled like old beer in the bag and did not taste like beef. It was a 5 out of 10. So there you go. Honest review from an omnivore that the plant-based beef stuff doesn't really stack up.
I'm surprised he would even try the
beef. I do. I think Garuda's open-minded. I really do. I know he likes to have the contrarian opinion and pick fights, but I do think, I mean, he wouldn't be showing up to the show listening, commenting, if he does that. Richard Grain says, why is Garuda here? Richard Grain doesn't like Garuda. Garuda's a notorious troll, someone told us before. I don't know. Garuda's been nothing but a pleasant guest to have in what's got to be over a month now, maybe more than that.
Definitely does some trolling, though.
Yeah.
Leslie points out that the century is only 24 years old. It's a good point. I'm thinking past 100 years, whether.
Well, that's very different. Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, it's been on the rise for 15 out of 24 years. But yeah, if you're going back 100 years, that's very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say healthy, sanitized things might be the biggest food trend of the year of the century if you're going back to 1924. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the whole development of like the modern supermarket.
That's what I was stuck on. I couldn't get by that. I just don't think plant-based food is the biggest thing to happen.
The government adding iodine to salt maybe might be the big, big news of the century. Finally, people with fish and dairy allergies are being advised not to buy vegan products without checking the label carefully because they may contain animal products due to cross-contamination. This is from the Food Standards Agency that I think governs England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. We talked about this before, that vegan doesn't really mean free of these allergens. It just means, it doesn't really mean anything because it's not even has to be certified. You can claim it to be vegan if you didn't, I guess, intentionally put animal products in the food. I guess you can claim it otherwise too, but it seems like you get in trouble for that. But there are no rules requiring that it be completely free of animal products, like, you know, cross contamination or whatever. So they're just saying people stay away from that.
Yeah. Good call out. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Right. No, it's probably a good idea. Be aware of that. I mean, yeah, if you have a food allergen like that, especially if it's a bad one,
yeah,
I don't think you need to be told that. I think you already know to look for everything really carefully. Maybe not. Maybe you see vegan and you just assume that's fine. Mm-hmm. All right, Richard Grains wants to know, why are we doing a plant-based and not a vegan morning show? Good question. I mean, I think the answer is obvious, and Mr. Jeffries answered it for us. Marketing, more approachable. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I think now if we had called it a vegan morning show, I do think we'd have people watching it. I just think there'd be a lot of that energy, that anti-vegan energy happening, which is just everywhere. I mean, our YouTube comments are all that now. I just don't think it just would not be the vibe I want. I don't know. I don't like the PETA stuff and much of the PETA stuff and the protesting of things. And I don't know. I'm a little turned off recently about the vegan connotations. So, whatever. It doesn't matter to me what you call it. Call it whatever you want. You can call it the Vegan Morning Show if you want, and you will be accurate.
Are you the anti-vegan vegan, Matt?
No, I'm not that. I'm not an anti-vegan. I don't know. Vegan, unfortunately to me, vegan implies telling other people how they should eat. And I don't want to do that. I just like to eat the way I want to eat, and like people can eat how they want to eat, and that's good. And we have this content that people can listen to if they like. So I don't know. But it doesn't have to mean that. Obviously, vegan doesn't mean you have to spread the message like that.
Yeah.
All right. Good enough. Enough of that philosophical stuff. Although we will be talking in a minute about vegetarian versus vegan, which Richard Green says, I don't get vegetarianism as a vegan. But that's not what we are. We're not vegetarian. We're vegan. All right. What else, Doug?
That's it for me. I think we'll move on to our articles here.
Yeah, I there was something I wanted to revisit, but I can't find what it was.
I think we're being trolled by Richard. You don't care that other people exploit animals? Of course we do.
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing this if that were the case. But I'm not out to change people. That's the thing. I like to present content that people can do what they want with it. My goal is not convert people into vegans at all. Never has been that. All right. Jessica says, Matt Fraser, can't we all get along veganism? Yeah, I guess you can call it that. All right. I found what I wanted. It was that our new guest, Jessica, asked about recommendations for something. I'm slowing us down. She says, I'm allergic to soy and Big Mountain products at Publix. They have soy-free tofu. Any other recommended soy-free meat favorites? I think aren't a whole lot of the meats soy-free. Like, I think there are a lot of them are pea protein. The whole Beyond Meat thing is all soy-free. I think they advertise it all the time.
Yeah. So I think the Abbott Butcher stuff is soy-free.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't look at it carefully, really, because I don't have a soy allergy. But I just assume that a whole lot of that is because they don't, you know, people either have soy stuff or they just have an aversion to soy. They just don't want to have it. All right. So there you go. But thank you, Jessica. On to the stuff. All right, Doug, this one is, I think this is silly and it's really not worth much time at all. But these are fun. So we're doing it. It's from mirror.co.uk. The headline is vegan wants to sue neighbor for polluting air after cooking meat on a barbecue. A man has been given a reality check after asking social media users whether he can sue his neighbor for cooking a barbecue in their garden, which is a yard, while knowing he's vegan and wouldn't appreciate the smell it created. So here's the thing. This sounds like one of those things where we can talk about the am I the a-hole sort of thing or not. But all it is the person asked this on Quora. You ever use Quora, Doug?
No, I had to look at what it was.
It comes up sometimes when you Google things. You Google the answer to something, often you'll get a Quora result. And you never know if you can trust it or not, because it's just random people who answer stuff.
I think it's like kind of like Reddit, right? I mean,
it's like Reddit, but I think Quora has more of like a, I mean, you should be able to trust it more because the people have like credentials or whatever, and it calls that out, and maybe people can upvote the best answers, and that answer can be decided as the best one. I don't know. But I have like less trust with that than I do with Reddit for some reason. Hmm. So anyway, someone asked there, can I sue my neighbor for hosting a barbecue in the neighborhood because I am vegan? So that's the extent of this, right? There's no actual lawsuit that we know of. It's just someone doing that. And it could have been someone being an idiot and wanting to you know, make vegans look bad, which seems to be the trend recently. And these UK papers, not all of them, but a lot of them like to pick this up and amplify when vegans do things that are obnoxious. They say, rather than receiving the sympathetic response he was likely expecting, he was given a reality check. They said, of course not. The barbecue is taking place on their own property. Why do you eat? Vegans act so entitled. You can eat how you please, but quit telling other people what to do. Hey, there you go. That's what I do. I'd like to eat how I please and stop telling us what to do. All right. Another said, if you want to look like a fool in court, if you want the entire neighborhood to mock you every time you step out of the house, I hate the color gray. Does this mean I can sue my neighbor for having gray hair, etc.? And then someone points out on the technicality, yes, of course you can sue someone for anything, but you're not going to win and you'll be laughed at.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you can't. I mean, you can't. It's a frivolous lawsuit, right? I mean, it's not against the law to barbecue or to cook animals. So you're not going to win anything, I don't think. But, you know, I mean, it's like, is it any different than, like, let's say if someone plays loud music, right, and it bothers you, causes you distress, you know, is that a problem? Of course, that would then go back to local ordinances and things like that around noise pollution.
Yeah. But
I don't, I mean, there's no ordinance that I know of about barbecuing in most places.
What if someone's house just put off terrible smells that like all people would say these are objectionable smells? Not necessarily food. Who knows what it is? I'm sure certain neighborhoods, well, I guess a neighborhood association is different. Probably if there's no neighborhood association, you're probably allowed to have any smell you want coming out of your place.
Do you remember you lived in Harrisonburg for a while?
Yes.
You know, there would be this time, I don't know if it was like a cleaning, I don't know, something, because there's a huge poultry industry outside Harrisonburg in Rockingham County,
yep,
where you went to college, where I lived for a while. Every so often, maybe like once a week or every couple of weeks or whatever, there'd just be this terrible smell that would take over the entire town. You just like go out, walk outside and you just smell terrible. And it was from the poultry industry. I don't know exactly what it was that they were doing or why, like what only happens sometimes.
Right.
But it'd be terrible. You remember that?
Yeah. I always thought it had to do with the weather. I thought certain days, like dreary kind of days, it just seemed to have it, but it may have had to do with an activity that they were doing. Yeah. Right. Can you just show up with a giant business anywhere? I mean, obviously that's, you know, they got the go ahead. I'm sure they were probably lobbied to go there. I'm sure the county wanted them, but like, you can't just go put a business somewhere that puts off awful smells, right?
Well, I think you can. I mean, I think that's happening right now in some of the cannabis industry. I think that's, like the crypto industry, there's crypto farms happening that aren't smells, but it's, you know, a huge power suck and noise pollution and, you know, And then I'm sure within, you know, within factory farming, there's probably, you know, a pig farm or something that comes into a place and changes the smell and the water quality and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, I think that happens. And it's just, if it's been allowed to, for that, if that industry or that business is allowed currently to go in there, then you can't, not really much you can do about it.
Yeah. Right.
And that's, so, I mean, like that kind of sucks. I mean, you know, of course, you know, what we're talking about is a barbecue here that is temporary and probably not happening every day or all day every day. But, you know, in it, those types of big industry things could really ruin a neighborhood and do ruin a town, ruin towns and things like that, make desirable places much less desirable to live in. That is a real problem. So like, what if you were a vegan and you lived in a place where businesses were allowed to move next door and a barbecue place opened up and they were literally smoking meat next to you all the time? Like, I would imagine that would, that would cause some distress.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like smell should be like protected the way noise is, right? Like if it's not that different from an awful noise next to you, but vegan's not going to win this case, right? I mean, most people think this smells good, right? They're not going to mind this. So I think the fact that someone's vegan, that's not going to be some protected right of something not to smell barbecue. So I think it's silly, the whole thing, but I do wonder if smells like the, you know, like the chicken farms or non-animal product thing, just something that smells terrible. You would hope that you'd have some protection from that as someone minding your own business. All right. On to the next. Too much time spent on that dumb story. This one is from Daily Mail. And I mean, Daily Mail is no friend of vegans for sure. So I don't know what they're doing with this, if they're trying to like create some sort of infighting or what it is. But the headline is, are vegetarians being squeezed out? As restaurants offer more vegan options, people who avoid meat but still eat dairy slam, quote, lazy eateries for, quote, lumping them together. And that's basically the story. It's not anything beyond that. It's that some vegetarians, there was some post on social media somewhere that ended up becoming a little bit of a fight in the comments. And a bunch of vegetarians said, yeah, I'm kind of sick of this. Like, I really want to have regular cheese. It used to be that you could go somewhere and get a vegetarian option and still have the cheese and whatever on it. Now you have to get vegan. And a lot of them target the vegan cheese. And they say, it sucks that we have to have this terrible vegan cheese because we don't want that. I'm surprised even vegans want that. It's so bad. The reason this seems like a big deal over nothing is like, can't you just ask for the regular cheese? Like, I'm sure that's not a problem for the restaurant to do. It just seems like they would generally happy. Whereas going the other way is harder, right? Not everyone's going to have a vegan cheese slice to give you instead of regular cheese, but pretty much everyone's going to have a regular cheese in their restaurant if it's not a vegan place. So I don't know what the big deal is, but you know, some people get mad. Some people said, why can't you be vegetarian? Or sorry, there's a typo in the thing. So I can't. The question people have to ask themselves is why can't they vegetarian? I guess it means why are they vegetarian? If it's for animal welfare, then bite the bullet and have the vegan option and stop complaining. And people might not expect me to say this, but I do think it's kind of right. Like if you're doing this for animal welfare, you know, you're kidding yourself if you think that's the dairy is not very harmful to animals.
Right.
On the other hand, it's okay to be someone who says, I'm doing this partially for animal welfare. I'm doing the partial solution. I'm not going all the way and I'm not willing to do that. But yeah, I agree. Stop complaining. You don't need to complain about that.
Yeah. I think that this is happening though, right? Like a lot of restaurants are just defaulting to the vegan option.
Yeah, I believe this.
And it makes sense, right? I mean, it's, if most of your clientele isn't vegan or vegetarian, then might as well have one that kind of kills two birds. Nope.
Shouldn't say kill two birds.
Poor choice of words there. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that happens a lot. And if you think about like, let's say to put yourself in the vegetarian shoes, if you really don't care about dairy and you wanted like a creamy, you know, creamy sauce or something like pasta with some sort of cream sauce, something like that, then of course you're going to be disappointed. Not of course, but you might be disappointed if you get a cashew-based one instead or something, or that option isn't there. But I mean, come on, like just eat the vegetarian option, or eat the vegan option. You're fine.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I wouldn't like if vegans went to a restaurant and complained there's no vegan options. To me, it's just like, well, go choose a different restaurant, right? I mean, you chose this lifestyle, so like you have to deal with it. And the same with vegetarian, right? Like go find a place where they have the vegetarian options you want, or where they can turn an omnivore option into a vegetarian, or where they can turn a vegan option into a vegetarian. It just seems silly. But I don't like, let's see, someone said, like Jessica points out, she says, nervous about this vegan versus vegetarian conversation. Can we not make them opponents? And
yeah,
I do think that's, I mean, you can see that happening here, right? People already in our comments are saying vegetarians, like Richard says, vegetarians are carnists. Sure, it's a step in the right direction, but you must understand there's an opposition from vegans to what vegetarians are doing to animals. So yeah, I mean, there is. But I tend to think, you know, if you're doing something, that's better than not doing anything. And you're doing a very, very large amount, you know, compared to a flexitarian, if you're considering yourself fully vegetarian. So I don't, you know, I still kind of applaud them for being that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just, it's really not, I don't know. I will say, I think vegetarian has, like, when I started No Meat Athlete, I was going vegetarian and I wasn't even fully vegetarian. I was still eating fish. But I very quickly stopped that. And then I was still vegetarian for like a year and a half or something. Cause that was the only thing I even considered. This was 2009. And like vegan was kind of I don't want to say it was new, cause there was plenty of vegan stuff out there. But that was never part of my plans. I just thought like it would be really a huge leap for me to go vegetarian, like to not eat meat anymore would be a very hard thing. And that's what I, you know, debated for a long time in my mind and tried and failed. And eventually said, I'm going to really do it. Like it was a big thing to go vegetarian, but then I found like almost right away, as soon as I got into that world, I realized like everything was about vegan. Like that's where the passionate people were. And like, if you wanted a blog post to do well, you would make it about vegan stuff, not vegetarian stuff. And I think there's a sort of pushing to the edges that social media certainly does. It helps to cause that, but maybe there are other forces too, that would sort of push things this way. But I don't know. Are there more vegans than there are vegetarians in the US, Doug? Do you know, that Gallup poll recently, I think, had that data. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, look it up, because I don't remember. I mean, like you, I would have probably never gone vegan when I went vegetarian. Like it that didn't feel like an option or a possibility. Right. And I was vegetarian for a number of years before I went vegan. And I think that's a story for a lot of people, right? I mean, like some people definitely just go straight vegan, but I mean, a lot of people go vegetarian and then kind of make their way to the vegan diet through vegetarian.
Yep, including Steven here, who says, I would never be vegan without my years as a vegetarian. Everyone is on their own journey. I did look up the Gallup poll. This is the one recently that said that vegans are only 1% of the United States, down from 3% in 2018. That one says that vegetarians are 4%, down from 5%. So three times more or four times more vegetarians as vegans. I don't know if the vegans are included in the vegetarian. Yeah, the vegans are included in the vegetarian category. So we have 3% being vegan, or sorry, non-vegan vegetarian, 1% being vegan. So there are more, which is weird. Like from the volume on social media or volume anywhere, you don't get that sense at all, right? The volume of products that you see that are marketed towards vegans, you would think that there's 10 times as many vegans as there are vegetarians.
But are they marketed towards vegans, or are they just labeled vegan because?
Yeah, it includes vegetarian.
Yeah, it includes vegetarians, yeah.
Right, that's what it is. But like all the cookbooks out there, like, I don't know, like, they're just for vegan. They're vegan cookbooks.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even think of a new vegetarian cookbook. Maybe that's just because I'm vegan and wouldn't buy a vegetarian cookbook, but you don't see like all the, you know, Instagram famous people putting out vegetarian cookbooks.
Right. It seems like the connotation I have of vegetarian stuff is like, it's for an older audience. Like people who have been eating this way since the 1980s and just still are, like, that's the cookbooks that I've seen marketed towards vegetarians. You don't see like young, hip, cool cookbooks marketed to vegetarians. And I almost feel like that's like we just said, like it's, I, my approach is different from some vegans is like, I'd rather see a whole lot of people give up, you know, a large amount of the meat and dairy and animal products in their diet than a very small amount go all the way. And so like, you wonder if that's an opportunity, like what if there was a cool vegetarian crowd that was like, this was the new thing. It's like being not a flexitarian, but being a vegetarian where you're, you know, you are occasionally eating dairy or maybe always eating dairy, but never meat. I don't know. Like that would still be giant progress to me if that became a big movement. Jessica points out that Eat Real Food is a cool hip vegetarian cookbook. So there you go. There is one at least. I looked that up. I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty cool, right? I mean, like, what if everyone was talking about going vegetarian? That'd be awesome. It would be so great.
Yeah, but then what if the vegans move back toward that? We wouldn't like that.
I mean, that would not be great, of course. But if, like, but if there was, I don't know, if there was just this kind of huge national movement to, or international movement to go vegetarian, like, that would be a huge, huge advancement in our mission, right. Our goals, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And it just seems like much more realistic. But the thing is, I don't know, I feel like a lot of diets now don't think dairy is healthy, even the non-vegan, right? Paleo, keto is like, people, dairy is, to me, seems on the way out as far as something people think is a reasonable, healthy food to eat. So that's good.
Yeah.
Jessica Estep corrects it. Sorry, Love Real Food is the name of the book. Jessica's getting a lot of airtime for her first show. I put her stuff up 4 or 5 times already. This is, I hope, an example. To anyone who's considering coming to the show, a little nervous to come in, just come in and do it. And you'll get your comments up on the screen 4 or 5 times.
If you have to,
you won't be able to just blend in. We're gonna call you out 4 or 5 times. Okay. Good discussion in the comments. I have not been able to keep up with all of it, but people are discussing this stuff, vegetarian versus vegan. I think also the, you know, should vegans kind of try to get people to go vegan? Like, is that part of the deal? Which would be different from what I said that my kind of MO is. So yeah, there you go. I don't know. Doug, anything else? What else we got? Anything else to end this on a nice, good note? It just felt like a weird vibe today. Felt like fighting.
It did. There was even some like, I don't know, some debates happening in the comments, which is not bad. I mean, there's a ton of engagement. It's great. Everybody here, go smash that like button. But yeah, I mean, thanks for coming. Thanks for engaging in the thoughtful discussion that's happening. I think it's good.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for showing up. Hopefully we'll get some more interesting news and stuff tomorrow. Your running update, though, that's not going to be tomorrow. I shouldn't hold my breath for that.
No, don't tease it. I don't know when. Hopefully this week. Maybe Thursday.
Okay. Should we just say by next Monday, Tuesday?
Just a pending running update. You can keep checking in on me, man. You should give me a hard time about this one. It's because I want it to happen. So.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, thanks everyone for coming. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back Thursday, and the shows will keep getting better. I think the mood will get more and more loose as the weekend goes. And then Thursday, no better time than Thursday because we're almost to the weekend.
Almost. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Goodbye.
Man, the comments just keep rolling in. I have to turn
it off. It's good to see. Good. I like the discussion. I like that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye.